Good evening, everyone. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at North Shore Alliance Church, and we're really delighted that you've chosen to spend part of your Christmas season with us here at North Shore Alliance Church. Christmas is a really special time of year, and in our family, it's a big deal, particularly for my daughter. My daughter in her bedroom has a massive chalk wall, and at the end of August, she started counting down to Christmas. Waiting, hoping, praying, and it's finally here. Over the course of our lives, we actually spend a significant amount of time waiting. We wake up in the morning and we wait for our coffee to brew. We wait for parcels to arrive. We wait for our friends to call us or family members to come home. Do you know that over the course of your entire life, you will spend close to 43 days waiting on hold with an automated customer service? Did you know that? For some of you, 43 days seems rather short. We wait for buses. We wait in checkout lines. We wait to graduate. We wait to get that promotion at work. We wait in airports and hospitals. We wait in hopes of being finally chosen. For some of us, we wait in fear of being discarded. Much of life goes by with us waiting for something to happen. My question for you tonight is what do you find yourself waiting for these days? A number of years ago, Disney produced a movie entitled Tangled. And the main character of this movie, Rapunzel, finds herself locked in a tower, and day after day, she does the same things over and over again. And as the movie begins, she sings a sad song about the state of her life, a life filled with activity, but a life that doesn't seem to be going anywhere. She keeps wondering and wondering, when is my life going to really begin? And some of you here tonight perhaps can sympathize. Your life is filled with activity, but you find yourself wondering, where is all of this taking me? You're waiting for something to happen, but you're not sure what. Are you waiting for a new adventure, a new job, a new house, a new vacation, a new partner? For hundreds of years, the Christian church has celebrated the season of Advent. The four Sundays leading up to Christmas Day. And this word Advent means coming or arrival. At Christmas time, Christians remember that moment in history when God became human, born to Mary as a little baby in Bethlehem. And if God has come to be with us, then where are we meant to find him today? And if we were to find him, what difference does he make in our lives? There are perhaps a number of us who might be here tonight who live consistently remarkable, adventurous lives. But for most of us, our lives are predictable. They're repetitive. We wake up every day and we have the same two or three things for breakfast every day of the week. 5 days a week, we head off to work or to school. We go to soccer practice, we pay the bills, we visit the dentist a couple times a year, we buy groceries, watch TV, or connect with friends. We have some spectacular moments, but in between these moments, there's simply the mundane. And it stands to reason that if God has truly come to be with us, then he's going to meet us in all of these ordinary moments of our lives. For example, God has come to be with us right in the middle of our relationships. Let me ask you, is there anything more important in life than the most important people in your life? You would likely answer no, but you might also admit that loving people well is among the more difficult tasks in this world. The Bible describes love in the following way. Love is willing to wait for others. Love is caring, considerate, helpful, and big-hearted. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love isn't envious. It doesn't boast, brag, or strut about. Love doesn't demand its own way. It isn't always me first. Love is slow to anger and quick to forgive. Love doesn't keep score. Love always protects, never loses faith, always looks for the best in others, and endures in every circumstance. Love like this will never fail. This kind of love sets a standard for all of us, but not one that any of us will ever fully achieve. This love is what we find in God Himself. God has come to be with us in order to hold out this love to us. And as we live in God's love, we're strengthened to begin to practice this kind of love with one another. God has come to be with us in the middle of our relationships, but He's also come to be with us in our aloneness. You and I know all too well that one doesn't have to be alone in order to feel alone. You may be surrounded by people everywhere you go, at work, at school, in your apartment building, at the gym. You may be surrounded on every side, but still feel utterly alone. The good news of Christmas is that God has come to be with us, and He will never leave us alone. In the course of our lives, we will never experience one truly God-forsaken moment because God is everywhere, because God loves us, because we're never forgotten. And in His eyes, we're never unimportant. God is with us. God's with us in all of the decisions that we have to make. Sometimes, if you're like me, you may feel like you're in over your head, like you can't quite see around the next corner, and that massive decision staring you in the face might have you feeling paralyzed. God is not unavailable, distant, uninterested. God is with us. And what that means is that when we set our face towards Jesus and we ask for wisdom, God is quick to come, to help, to guide, to lead. God's with us in our relationships. He's with us in our aloneness. He's with us as we make decisions. He's also with us in our excitements. The world around us is a good and beautiful place. And God has made it that we might enjoy it and one another. God is with us in the laughter of a child, in the pleasure of a good meal, in the beauty of a flower or a painting or a building, in a promise kept or a service rendered or a kindness offered. God is with us, applauding, enjoying the moment. When you wake up early in the morning and there's fresh snow in the mountains and you get to ski first tracks, or you're playing an instrument and your instrument sounds that perfect note, God is with us, for He is the God of joy and delight. God is the giver of all good gifts, but God is also with us in the midst of our disappointments and losses. None of us are strong and resilient and hopeful all of the time. Yes, we live in a good and beautiful world, except when it isn't good and beautiful. When the rug gets pulled out from underneath us, when we fail our class or lose our job, when our health begins to fail or a loved one walks out on us, God is with us. The Bible describes God as being the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And when we find ourselves in the time of great need, we look to Him and discover that He is near. My wife, Naomi, works as a nurse for Vancouver Coastal Health, and for much of her career, she's worked in the hospital, in ICU or critical care units. But for the last couple of years, essentially what she does is she makes house calls. She goes to people's homes, and she provides medical care so they don't have to come into the hospital or into the clinic. One of the clients that she's been serving over the last 18 months is 93 years old, and she's a real sweetheart of a person. But for the first time in 65 years, her client is now on her own because her husband recently passed away. And so just a couple weeks ago, as Naomi was visiting with her client and she was getting ready to leave, the conversation shifted from whatever they were talking about to Christmas and family and traditions. And at one point, the client said to my wife, "I don't think I'm probably going to get around to decorating the house this year. I'm not really up to it." But after saying that, she paused for a moment and then said, "Come to think of it, I don't really feel like I need to decorate. If Jesus is with me, then every day of the year feels like Christmas. When you're with people or you find yourself alone, when you're facing difficult decisions or you're enjoying something to the uttermost or find yourself in the place of great loss and disappointment, even there, God is with us. During the season of Advent, Christians make a point of describing Jesus as the one in whom both satisfaction and salvation can be found. With the coming of Jesus, we find love, a love that comforts, nourishes, and heals, a love that lasts. With the coming of Jesus, we find peace, peace with God, peace within, peace with people around us. With the coming of Jesus, we have the promise of hope. By faith, we know that disappointment and sorrow does not have the final word in this life. The goodness of God can meet us in the present. It gives us reason to hope in what is yet to come. Many years ago now, the angels sang a song of good news, great joy for all the people. God has come to be with us. God loves us. And my hope for you this Christmas is that the love, the peace, the joy, and the hope of Jesus will find you and those you love. Amen and amen.
Now I look back in reverence to that holy night, for the God of the heavens had us on his mind. Let us sing of his glory, rejoice in his name. Oh, Emmanuel with us always, and forever his kingdom will reign.
All right, thank you, worship team. So now is the part of the service where we are going to be lighting our candles. And for the kids in the audience, bringing out your glow stick. So if you're a kid, you can bring your glow stick or your candle for the adults now. So a few things before we start this process. There's a few instructions. I've chosen a volunteer from every section and the bottom section here, and then two volunteers from upstairs. You know who you are. Either myself or Pastor Dave came to speak to you. In a moment, I want to invite you to come forward and light your candle from the large, tall candle in the middle there, the Christ candle. That candle symbolizes the presence of Jesus. So you will light your candle from that candle and then take it back to your sections. Then you will go along the outside row and light the end candle of everyone in each row going back. Make sense? Yeah? Cool. Then a few tips before I ask the volunteers to come forward. First, fire is dangerous, okay? So be careful. We haven't had any major mishaps yet while doing this, and it's a lovely exercise, but let's keep it that way. And then second, hair and hair products can be flammable. So be careful, again. And then third, how do I pass a flame from one candle to the next? Never tip a lit candle, okay? So I'm not going to pass it like this when it's lit. Instead, the person, once your candle is lit, just hold it upright, keep it upright, and the candle that's unlit will then... the person will then tip that candle to light it. Does that make sense? Okay? So once it's lit, keep it upright always. And then when it's the person with the unlit candle that will tip their candle to light the flame. Cool. Okay. With that then, I'll invite the volunteers to come forward and light their candles from the tall Christ candle in the middle there. So why are we doing this? As I said previously, the candle in the middle is that flame is a symbol of Christ's presence. And as we light our candles and pass it to everyone in this room, what we're symbolizing here is that Jesus has come to live with us, God with us. As John 1:9 says, Jesus, the true light that gives light to everyone, has come into the world. So that's what we're symbolizing here through this exercise. And now the worship team is going to sing Silent Night. So as that happens and as we sing together, let us celebrate that Jesus, the Son of God, loves pure light, has come to be with us.